taken from Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, that is God our Savior, is everlasting strength, or is the rock of ages. That's where that song came from, too, the rock of ages. Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay, now back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. If you will listen tonight, the Lord will give you hearing ears. You may get some real peace out of this message, some real joy, some real rest, and some real comfort here. Faith is what we're after, isn't it? The Scripture says the just shall live by faith. Scripture says faith enables us to see the unseen. We've never seen God, we've never seen Christ, we've never seen the things of God in heaven. But faith is the substance, the evidence of things not seen. So that's what we're after. And faith, the Scripture says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this word here in Philippians 4 is a word in season. It was for me, and I know it will be for you. A word in season, a word from God to strengthen our faith, a word able to make us wise and able to give us peace. We've looked at this before. After I studied this and prepared it, it occurred to me that we studied this together not so long ago. It may have been a year or so, but we need it again. It was new and fresh to me, and I hope it will be to you also. We all go through times of trouble and trial and doubt, depression, guilt, feelings of guilt, and extreme sorrow, up and down, and tossed about with inner turmoil. And we need this peace that he's talking about. This peace of God in verse 7, it says it passeth all understanding. It's able to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. We need this peace of God. And it's called the peace of God because only he can give it. He's the only one that can give it. And it's a peace that only, it's the only real peace that gives peace. It's not peace when there is no peace. But it's peace that will really settle us. And it said it will keep our minds and our hearts. And I need that. I need my mind and heart to be kept, stilled. Be still, my soul. Sherry plays that quite often for the offertory. I need that. Well, nothing but this peace will do that. All right, let's listen now as we go through here. As the Lord speaks to us and see where this peace comes from. There are three or four things here that ensure this peace, three or four exhortations. Beginning with verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. That stands to reason we've got to know him to rejoice in him, but for those that know him, if we could just quit being wrapped up in ourselves and start rejoicing in him, we might have a little peace. This is 99.9% of our problem. All of our problem. It's ourselves. Big S-E-L-F. If we could just quit being wrapped up in ourselves, being full of self, self-pity, self-concern, self-love. Brother James touched on that. Brother Tim James, he said in his witty way, you know how witty he is, When the Lord said, "Love, we're to love the brethren as ourselves," He's not commending us for loving ourselves. He's just saying that we do love ourselves. And if we could just love one another like that, then that's what we're to do. It's not a commendable trait to love yourself. And if we could just get by that, if we could just quit being so wrapped up in self-pity, self-concerns, self-conceits, self-love, self-righteousness, and start thinking on other things, thinking on things above, thinking on things of others, especially things above, because he says here we're to rejoice in the Lord. He said back in over in Colossians 3, it is, isn't it? Colossians 3, he said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." So principally these things have to do with the person, don't they? The things of Christ. Set your affection on Him, on Christ. If we could just be taken up with Him, I think we'd find very little reason to worry much over anything, wouldn't we? To fret and complain, to be sad about anything. If we could just be taken up with Him. Rejoice in Him. You know how it is concerning your own family, your children or your husband or your wife or your parents or whoever it may be. There are times when you rejoice in their happiness and their successes over your own, don't you? That's the meaning of true love and thinking on things of others. At times when you truly gain more happiness, this season that's coming up, as pagan as it may be, and you know, yet it's good in the sense that people finally, you know, spend a little time with one another and giving things to exhibit a little love toward one another. That's good. I wish we had it 365 days a year, for that matter. But you know how it is when it's truly more blessed to give than to receive. You ever felt that? You ever felt the joy of giving and rejoicing in? I believe we can really only enter into this in our own immediate family. Completely enter into it. And rejoicing in their successes over and above your own. Like you parents. There's nothing you'd like better than for your children to succeed where you failed. Right? To rise higher than you did. Huh? You wouldn't be jealous, would you? Or envious? Oh, no. It's exactly what you're looking for. It's exactly what you want. Well, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. This is the sense he's talking about. You know, like I said, we rejoice in other people, our children and our family and so forth. Even if our circumstances are not just right, we can rejoice in them. If everything's okay with them, we can say we're sick or we're ill, we're just thankful that it's not them. Right? Can't you truly say that? And they dote over you and say, don't worry about me. I'm glad it's me and not you. And then when they're sick, you think, I wish I could take their place. Right? We rejoice in them. Well, the scripture says rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 7, it says, we rejoice in the Lord. The peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice each one of these exhortations, and this is the promise that comes from each of these. Rejoice in the Lord and the peace of God. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and the peace of God. This is the end. This is the end that we're looking for, the peace of God. And the peace of God that we're looking for, comes by rejoicing in knowing that the Lord is Lord. The Lord is Lord. And we believe this. We believe this in doctrine. But somehow or another, we're going to have to put it to practice. Somehow or another, we're going to have to believe it with all our hearts in order to have peace. That He is Lord. That He is Lord. That Jesus Christ is God. That He is the judge of all the earth, and He will do what's right. Right? He is the judge of all the earth, and He will do what's right. He reigns and rules over all, and we need to rejoice in Him. That He's God, that He's Lord. That He's God, He's Lord. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just, are you ever just taken up with just rejoicing in Him? That's what this is all about. That's what He's talking about. You ever just, I don't know if I can explain it. You just all of a sudden taken up with Him. Who He is. Who He is. His person. His greatness. His majesty. You ever think about it? Sure you did. His glory, His honor, His wisdom, His love. His mercy to you. His grace, His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. His wonderful works to the children of men. His gentleness. The Lord's so good to us, isn't it? Praise, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Forget not all His benefits and so forth. That blessed Psalm 103, His kindness, His compassion, His tenderness, His person, His blessed person. You ever just stop and think about how, about the Lord and rejoice in Him. Oh, the Lord. And you rejoice in His work, too. His work for us, to us, in us. His righteousness imputed. If you ever get a hold of your sin, if you ever get to feeling real guilty, then imputed righteousness gets awful sweet to you. Rejoice in His work. Righteousness imputed. It's not charged to our account. It is not charged to our account. Blood shed for the remission of our sins. He said, your sins are gone. I remember them no more. No sin. There's therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ. There's nothing that will give you peace like that. Nothing. Nothing. Psychiatrists won't do it. Psychologists won't do it. Romans 8:1 will do it. There's therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ. You notice He said that? It'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All this is through Christ Jesus. He is the Lord. The Lord our righteousness. And our sin offering, His faithful intercession. Scripture I quote as much or more than anything else is, because I live, you shall live also. My pastor pointed this out to me one time. He said it's not that Christ has to say anything to God on our behalf. He doesn't have to show Him His blood. He doesn't have to show Him His hand. We use that illustration quite often, don't we? That's for us, you see. We use that illustration for us. We'll be looking for scars, yes. But the Father's not. Just the fact that Christ, that there's a man seated at the right hand of God right now means that I'm accepted. Because He lives. Because He's there. I'll be there. Right? Because there's a man. A man approved of God, a man accepted by God. Therefore, I'm accepted in the Beloved. He doesn't say anything. Just be in there. Because I live, you live also. Because a man rose from the grave, He's going to bring many sons with Him. Bring many sons with Him. So He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, in case you didn't hear me the first time, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. His person, His work. Rejoice in the fact we're accepted in Him, we're complete in Him, we're joint heirs with Him. And as we looked at a couple Sundays ago, someday we're going to be actually with Him. If that's not cause for rejoicing, nothing will give you cause. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. Stayed upon Jehovah, though, right now. That's how we're stayed. That's how we're kept. Stayed upon Jehovah. Jehovah, and that Jehovah is Jesus Christ. Yahweh is Jesus. Jehovah is Jesus Christ. And we're stayed upon Him in every way. Every way. You know what a stay is, don't you? Any men in the Navy? Anybody in the Navy around here? Well, have you ever gone camping? A stay is what is the line that holds the tent up, right? Well, faith is like a lifeline. We throw out the lifeline. Throw out the anchor on the rock, Christ Jesus. Stay yourself on Him. Stay yourself. A stake. A stake can also be a stake driven. A nail in a sure place. Jesus Christ is our Lord. I am His and He is mine. What cause have I to worry or fear? And in verse 5, look at this. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known. Now, I've had this wrong. I've had this wrong. This word moderation, I never did bother to look it up until now. And it doesn't mean temperance, per se. It doesn't mean what you might think it means, that you're moderate, that you're temperate, that you're, I don't know what the word I'm trying to look for, but what the word is here is gentleness. That's the word. Gentleness, or patience is a derivative of that. And we need to be gentle men and gentle women and patient men and patient women, and we need to let it be known before all. He said, let your patience or your gentleness be known unto all men. Wouldn't you like to be known for being a gentle, easygoing, patient person? Wouldn't you? I've got a long way to go in that. Wouldn't you like to be known for that? Nothing seems to bother Him. Wouldn't you like to be known for that? He says, let it be known. Let your moderation, your gentleness, your patience be known. Let it be known. Settle down. In other words, settle down. Be patient. Unperturbed. Gentle. Why? How can I? Because the Lord. If you're not Lord, He is. What you got to worry about? Huh? Settle down. Be grounded and settled. Maturely established and fixed. And this implies so much. Gentle. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. Let not a railer, not a brawler, not a fighter, not a worrier, but a believer. Look at it. Look at it. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That doesn't mean necessarily He's watching you. He is, but that's not what that is. That's not a warning or a guilt manipulation or a scare tactic. What He's saying is, the Lord's at hand. In other words, He's near. He's, and everything's in His hand. Everything's in His hand. Let your moderation be known. Let your patience, your gentleness, your being settled, your maturity be known. Lord's at hand. Rejoice. You know, you see how He started it out? And He continues this same thought? Rejoice in the Lord. He's Lord. That's cause for rejoicing. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. The Lord is at hand. Believe that. The Lord's in charge. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is the believer's avenger. The Lord is with me. The Lord is watching over me. Settle down. Settle down, He's saying. Let it be known. Let it be known. Now here's a man that has peace. Here's a man believes what he says he believes. Here's a man that actually believes what he says he believes. He says he believes God's on the throne and everything is ordered by Him and all things work together according to His purpose and nothing happens but God directed it. There's a man that believes that. You remember me telling you that illustration of a brother up in Lexington whose boss called Todd Nybert Remember that? I tell it to you again. When I saw this dear man when we were up there, and he is indeed a dear man, isn't he? She finally called it who it was. And such a gentleman. Ever since we met him, since the Lord revealed the gospel to him, he's been that way, hasn't he? Just a gentleman, kind, considerate, loving, Christ-like. The best way you could describe Christ-like. Well, this young man, he's about 30. He's been here before. He's about 37 or 8. His boss called Todd Nybert one day. This young man works at a hospital. And his boss, who is a doctor, called Todd Nybert out of the blue. Didn't know Todd. Todd didn't know him. And he called Todd and said, "Are you Claire? Are you so-and-so's boss, or so-and-so's pastor?" And Todd said, "Well, yes, I am." "Who is this?" He said, "Well, I am Dr. So-and-so. I am head over the such-and-such place where he works." He said, "I just had to call you and talk to you and speak with you." He said, "Whatever it is that Claire Sharon is hearing..." Now you know, don't you? That's his name. "Whatever it is that he is hearing, whatever it is that has produced this in him," he said, "I want it." He said, "Whatever that man has is real." He said, "I just want to hear what you all believe, what you're preaching. Because that man, his it's real. His religion is real." Evidently, he'd seen and heard, like we have, many people, religious people here everywhere. There are dime a dozen, aren't they, religious folk? People that are walking by faith, though, are few and far between. People that truly believe in God, like Abraham, are few and far between. Would you like for your boss to call me like that? Huh? Well, that's what he says here. These are the exhortations to us here. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. In case you forgot, you got plenty of reason to rejoice. We got a whole lot more reason to rejoice than we do to complain. Right? I believe if we start rejoicing more, we quit complaining. I believe so. Let your moderation be known under all men. Let people know who you believe. Let them know. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean don't give a flip about anything. A lot of people use this as an excuse to be that way. Huh? It says, be careful for nothing, so I'm going to let my grass grow 2 feet high. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying, don't be full of care for anything. You know it's not saying that, be slothful or not be diligent. He says for us to be diligent. Whatever we find to do, what our hand finds to do, we're to do it with all our might, as unto the Lord, whatever it may be, from the smallest thing on up. But he's saying, don't be full of anxious care about anything. Don't be full of anxious care. Why should we? We can't control anything, can we? He said that over in Matthew. He said, 10, he said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? No, we can't do, if he says we can't, he says if you can't do that which is least, we can't do anything, can we? Huh? Why should we worry about anything? Nothing's in our control anyway. We don't control anything. Without him, we can do nothing. He tells us to cast all our care upon him. All our care upon him. Why should we take any of it? Why should we leave any of it for ourselves? Huh? If we were going to walk up a big mountain, high mountain, and had a big weight to carry up that mountain, and somebody says, I'll carry it for you. Give it to me. Some big strong fella. Would we give him 90% of it and keep 10? Why do that? Huh? He says, cast it all on me. Is that it? No, I thought I'd keep a little bit for myself. Just, I'll take it all. All of it. All of it? Yeah, all of it. It's not hard for me. Now, is anything too hard for the Lord? What are your cares to the Lord of the universe? Huh? That's not like the dust, a speck in the universe to him. If he cares for the sparrow in the forest, don't you think he'd take care of Joe Parks that he sent his son to die for? Yeah, but not everything. Joe's got no everything. He said, cast it all on me. It's not heavy. It's not heavy for him. Cast it all on him. He's in charge anyway. Come find out you really don't have it. You're just trying to get it. He's trying to carry it. It's not yours to carry anyway. Why not leave it with the Father? Why don't we be like little children and depend on the wisdom and love and power of our Heavenly Father? The disciples were constantly fretting, weren't they? When our Lord was about to leave them, he said, after they'd stayed with him for 3.5 years, and they hadn't done anything. You know what? For 3.5 years, Barbara, they hadn't gathered, they hadn't worked, they hadn't done anything. Just follow him. He fed them, he clothed them, he protected them, he led them, he guided them, he did everything for them, didn't he? And at the end of, and they were fretting and worrying because he was leaving. He said, listen. He said, while I was with you, did you lack anything? Huh? Did we lack? No, we didn't. Not a thing, Lord. Never missed a meal. Never were in danger. He said, well, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to my Father, prepare a place for you, and then I'll come again and receive you to myself. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I'm going to send you a comforter, and he's going to take care of you from here on out, and you won't lack for anything then either. He said, I'm not going to leave you. Oh, no. I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you. No, never. No, never. You've never lacked anything yet? Have you lacked anything yet, Joe Park? 50-some years old. 60 years old. You lacked anything yet? It's obvious. Where's somebody in the 70? Charles, just about. You might as well be. 70? Virgin? Lacked anything yet? Anything? Why worry now? Why not spend the rest of your years in peace? Henry? Why not have about 10 more years of peace? If Roberta's let you out. Cast all your care on him. Cast all your care on him. Let me ask you this. Has anything turned out to be too hard to handle? Have you gone through anything that was literally, as absolutely, you couldn't bear it? You were not able to bear it. Huh, Deborah? You're here, aren't you? That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, didn't he? No temptation will be more than you're able to bear. But he will, with that trial, that temptation, make a way that you will escape, that you're able to bear. You've gone through deaths. You've gone through heartache, sorrow, hurt, disappointment, sickness. Name it. Surgery after surgery. Did you get through it? Why worry then? Huh? Why worry now? How could they cut you now, Sherry? They didn't already cut you. Huh? Why worry now? Let's start. This is what this is saying here. Be careful. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. You're in His hand. All right, here's the key here. I drew a big picture here of a key, a big skeleton key on my note. Here's the key to it all. Okay. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, he says, in every situation, every decision, and this is where we get all bent out of shape. This is why. Because we don't do this. Oh, what's the song say? Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's good words, isn't it? That could probably come from Philippians 4, too, doesn't it? In everything, every situation, every decision, every trouble, every trial, by prayer and thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's the key, as I said before. If you start thanking Him, you'll soon quit complaining. Start thanking. What He says, we're to let our requests be made known. Until they get grown, fully grown, and so are we, until we get fully grown, until we fully grow up in Christ in all things, and we come to Him with everything. We need to talk to Him, don't we? Unburden ourselves. Prayer. They say prayer changes things. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. They didn't get that from the Bible, did they? Scripture says in Acts 15:18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Doesn't it? Huh? God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, all things, ordered in all things. Right? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Everything has already been purposed and willed and planned for me. That's God. That's my Father. That's the God of the Bible. And that's the only way you can quit worrying about things. If you know that God's will and purpose is immutable and unchangeable for you, and that whatever it is you're going to get into is what He purposed anyway, then take it. Take it. But prayer doesn't change things. Oh, no. It doesn't change the eternal, immutable, all-wise will and purpose of God for you. It doesn't change things. But prayer just settles us down. Is what it does. It just settles us down. That's what prayer is all about. It settles your own mind and heart about things and causes you to remember that He's Lord. Right? You ever felt that? You ever experienced that? You tossed to and fro and worried about this and that and the other, and you just thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, I'll pray. That's what you should have done before you started worrying. Then as you get through talking to the Lord and unburdening Him and realizing God's God. And I'm in His hands. Christ is my mediator, my intercessor, my advocate, my representative, my high priest, my covenant head. I'm in Him. I'm accepted in Him. Everything. He's ordered all things concerning me. I'm in Christ. Nothing can befall me except exactly what's best for me, what's good for me, for my Father who loves me. And what was it I was worried about? I had something, Lord, I was worried about. But I forgot. Sure, shouldn't worry about your sin, should you? God's forgot about that. Well, have you ever felt better for just unburdening yourself to somebody? It's good to have a friend. Good. It's good to have a friend. Just unburden yourself. You just unburden. You just sometimes you just have to unload, don't you? Huh? You need to find a shoulder, an arm, somebody's arm. Well, there's no arm quite like the everlasting arm. You lean on those, can't you? Huh? There's no friend. The scripture says he's one that sticks closer than a brother. He's closer than a brother. And he can not only hear your worries, he can take care of them. It says in everything by prayer and supplication, in everything, talk to your Lord, talk to your husband, not him, your maker, your husband. Talk to him. It's things you talk to him about, you can't talk to him about, right? Talk to your husband, talk to your elder brother, talk to your father, talk to your friend, talk to him. And it's not just that he make you feel better. Not it. Verse 7 says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your minds and heart. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your minds and heart. He said, my peace I give unto you. And I'm sitting here trying to convey this to you. I can't do it. He has to. It's his to give. It's not mine to impart. He said, my peace I give unto you. You see, I'm just talking about it. He has to give it. He has to give it. And when you need it, he will. My peace I give unto you. Peace which no man, nobody, no one can take away from you. Nobody. Peace in knowing me. Peace in being grounded and settled. Peace, it says here, is passes understanding. Which passes understanding. I've seen some people go through, and I'm just about through. I've seen some people go through some horrible trials. I don't know the past history of nearly everybody in here. I know some things about most of you. I'm learning some of the things you went through and been through. But I've known some people, I'm telling you, go through some inexpressible grief and trials and heartaches and trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And seeing them come through it with a smile on their face. And people have to, you know, the world has to say, I don't understand that. Don't they? I don't understand that. No. You see, they don't have that peace which passes understanding. And you ask a person to explain it. And they can't. It passes knowledge. That's what he said in Ephesians, didn't it? It passeth knowledge. You can't. It has to be imparted to you. How can he be so calm? How can she smile at a time like this? Well, you want to wrap it up, you can say, because the Lord is Lord. Eli. What about old Eli? Do you remember that? When they came to him and told him his two sons? He loved those boys, didn't he? He loved them so much that he was doing wrong by them. He got taken out of priesthood because of what he was doing for those boys. You remember the story, don't you? The Lord chastised him, killed the boys for what they were doing, and took him out of the priesthood because he wasn't disciplining his sons. But when they came to him with news of his sons dying, you remember what he said? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. How'd your boys die? Oh, a horrible earthquake. It's the Lord. They didn't do what seemed good. That's what he said. They didn't do what seemed good. You know when he really got upset, though? When they said they took the ark. That's what upset. That's what made him fall over backward and break his neck. He's a big fat man. And when they told him, the Philistines got the ark. They desecrated the ark. And you know what that's a type of picture of men blaspheming God and abusing the gospel. The ark's taken. He fell over dead.
That slew him. Peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he said. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. If Christ is Lord, and he is, let's rejoice, huh? In all things, in everything. In everything. By prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving. So let's pray together. Stand with me. Our Lord and our God, enable us to be doers of this word, not hearers only. Now we rejoice in who you are and what you've done. Now, Lord, take this belief and make it active in every fiber of our being. Keep our minds and hearts, keep our minds from being just from, keep us from losing our minds, Lord, at various times through different things. Keep us from being double-minded. Keep us from being ignorant and without understanding. We should know by now, nearly everyone in here. We should know something by now. We all need some serious spiritual growth. And we should know by now that thou art Lord, because we've lacked nothing for these many, many years. And everything has truly worked out for good. We're all smiles in here, because the Lord is at hand. Lord, take that, plant it in our heart, and make it work its way all the way down to our feet. There, the very hairs of our head, everything. May we truly live by faith in our Lord. And Lord, let it be known. Let others see. Let others take note that we've been with thee. Dear Lord, we ask that you would enable us to rest upon thee, stay upon thee, and not be careful, full of anxious care about anything. We make our prayer to thee. We are suppliants to thee. We ask for your supply in everything. Give us what we need. We know you will. You have. You've told us to ask for it. If anything, that we might be conscious of the fact that you give them. And Lord, we do all this with thanksgiving. We thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. Our cups run over, everyone in here, under the sound of my voice now, under the sound of your voice. Our cups run over. Our cups run over. We're full. We're full. Complete in thee. Through Jesus Christ, all because of him, most of all, we give you thanks for him who is responsible, on whose account we have all these things. Because of him, we're joint heirs with him. We thank you, Lord. We praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now take these words and plant them. Plant them. Let them bring forth fruit for your glory. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.